So, what you been doing with your time at home? Watching movies, listening to your favorite songs? The arts are not only providing a distraction, but they offer solace, reflection, and they give us something that helps us make sense of our experience. They also become a part of documenting in a visceral way what we are going through. Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil Ekolona. Today, we talk about how culture, arts, and creative people must not be forgotten in the time of COVID-19. First up, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has a news rundown of what we know today, Friday, April 10th, as of 5 p.m.
In the absence of a federal plan to defeat coronavirus, a collection of governors, health officials, and former government officials are drafting a strategy that emphasizes testing, tracing contact, and focusing restrictions on the infected, according to the Washington Post. U.S. Labor Department Secretary Eugene Scalia used his authority to limit who qualifies for unemployment assistance, making it harder for gig workers like Uber and Lyft drivers, the Post reports. He's also been talking about unemployment being too generous, and he's facing a lot of criticism. For the first time, the number of people in New York's ICUs has gone down, if only a little. And the U.S. infectious disease chief says the number of cases is starting to level off in the country. President Trump and his administration are weighing when to lift stay-at-home orders. The projections are warning there would be a spike in cases, according to the New York Times. Around the world, the death toll went over 100,000 today, and there are 1.6 million infections. In New Mexico, there are 106 new cases, bringing the total to 1,091. 19 people have died. Folks who applied for the state's first-come, first-served self-employment stimulus payment found technical glitches. The money was offered to the first 2,000 people who applied, and there are an estimated 62,000 contract workers and self-employed people in the state. Former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson has launched a relief fund to bring medical supplies to the Navajo Nation, including masks, gloves, gowns, and other PPE. Donate through the New Mexico Children's Foundation website. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
Alex DeVore is a longtime arts and culture writer for the Santa Fe Reporter, and he's here to tell us about the pandemic's impact in a town known for the arts. Big picture here. What is the impact of COVID-19 during the shutdown? How has that impacted the arts?
Oh, man. I don't think we can even, like, understate it, especially in a city like Santa Fe. I mean, on the smaller level, you have individual artists who, you know, without gallery shows or without the DIY spaces like Strangers Collective or Etiquette or artist-run warehouse spaces in Santa Fe. I mean, we're not talking like millions in sales, but they're still part of this overall picture. Just, I think it's devastating. We're seeing so many people online right now who are saying, like, I will draw you something for a couple bucks, or please go to my gallery's website. Given that a lot of these people were barely squeaking by on the arts anyway, throwing on top of it, they're working for Uber or these food delivery services or whatever, and they're not getting any sort of federal or state assistance at this point. It's mind-boggling to see how fragile that ecosystem really is.
Yeah, that's the impact on the artists and the creators themselves. But Santa Fe is known globally as an arts hub, as a place you go to see art.
Sure. I mean, given that the folk art market and the traditional Spanish market and the upcoming Indian market have all been officially canceled, we're absolutely going to see that stretch out into the hotel visits and the restaurant stays and the galleries, especially on or around the plaza, who are maybe a little smaller, maybe a little less corporate than some of the Canyon Road galleries, and really rely on these weekends to get this kind of foot traffic. Many of my friends work in restaurants. I worked in restaurants for 10 years, and a lot of them, my friends still work there. And I mean, that first week, they were already starting to get fewer hours, and then cut to the second week, and they're doing takeout. And it's really only like these bare bones skeleton crews. The hotels, last I heard, were having to do like every other room. They could only sell like 50%. As we get into the summer, and collectors who had big plans to come for the markets and to be staying in these hotels as they have done for years and years, that's going to be, I want to say, millions that, you know, these industries are going to be missing out on.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to hurt the economy. Now, I talked to a DJ earlier who's like, yes, all of my gigs are wiped out. Weddings, graduations, birthday parties. But he's being creative by going online and DJing, and people are tipping him there. How are creative people creating new ways for folks to experience their art and what they're developing?
Even in that first day that we were all kind of like, is this going to be a real thing? Are we really going to be stuck at home? I was already seeing people who are like, look, I know we're all scared. We don't know what's going to happen. But if you tune into my Instagram live tonight, I'm going to be playing some songs. The speed at which I've seen it evolve. For example, Albuquerque/Santa Fe, the nonprofit AMP concerts, within like a few days, they had already put together a live show at the launch pad. There was no audience. There was the performer, Defi, and like a camera guy. And then I think somebody from the launch pad was there to like do the deep clean. And they saw incredible online turnout. We're seeing, at least as far as Santa Fe goes, a lot of these musicians who are in bands together are roommates or in relationships together. So they're stuck together and they're doing really creative live shows or recorded shows, and they throw up their Venmo or they throw up their PayPal, whatever. And people are tipping them. These summer months are really vital to them making it through the rest of the year. So I think it's a really smart plan.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on and having this conversation, because the arts are vitally important to us. It helps us explain these times that we're going through. He's Alex DeVore with the Santa Fe Reporter. Thanks so much, my friend. Stay healthy, okay?
Thank you, sir. You as well.
If you're like me, you were looking forward to Revolutions, the annual international festival thrown by the Trick Lock Theater Company. The pandemic shutdown hit right as the fest was getting started this year. To talk Revolutions, Trick Lock, and the value of the arts, here's Julie Hendren, Executive Director of Trick Lock. Tell me, throughout your experience, how has this shutdown affected the theater community as a whole?
I hate to use the word that it's devastating, but it's devastating. You know, everything about what live theater is directly, of course, being affected by what's happening. You know, live theater is about connection. It's about being in the room together. That's the point of it. It is one of the art forms that is really critical to have in-person connection and experience.
Let's talk about Revolutions. Every year, Revolutions goes down. People are excited about it. I actually was going to be a part of it. Now, I know it's a huge setback for myself as I was looking forward to performing. What is it going to do to you all?
I don't entirely know yet, right? That's like so much of it. The unknown is such a complicated thing. First of all, everything was so fast. As the executive director, I did a lot of beating myself up for a couple of days going, God, what did I miss? Like, why was I even moving forward? The information and the severity of the virus was not clear to us. And we were like, okay, stocked up on all the hand sanitizer. Let's be really careful. There's a virus around. We want to make sure we're taking care of everybody. And it was like 48 hours later, I was like, wow, I think I have to cancel this whole festival.
The city announced a few days ago that they're having an urban enhancement fund of arts and culture project and creatives in DIY media. I heard through the grapevine that some people were kind of trying to push back against these funds for artists. How do you feel about that?
I mean, of course, it makes me really frustrated because there is often this disconnect. Artists are historians. We are mirrors. We're archivists. We're therapists. We're family. We're community. The impact of what artists do and the thread that is everywhere that weaves sort of our entire society together comes from this. And what art is so many things.
Is there a chance that in 2020 we will be able to see Revolutions?
Yes, it won't be the whole festival, of course, but if we can get a little bit of emergency support to sort of stabilize us and make sure that our folks are okay, then what I'd like to do is try to push some of that towards having a handful of artists come back in September and maybe into October, and we'll do a lounge, we'll do all the gatherings. It's like Revolutions 2020 2.0 just did like part of it in March, and we'll try to do another, like a second part of it. And then there's a couple of groups that we're just going to have to move to 2021.
What ways can our listeners support?
the big thing is just continuing to do what they're doing, which is still being patrons of the work and supportive in whatever way that they normally do. There is stuff online. Keep checking the website. Keep following and paying attention. I do think just being supportive in your, you know, if you hear somebody saying, like, why is that happening? Like, here is why the arts are so important. Pay attention to when things do open back up and come out and see the work. Pay attention to all the artists who are putting their Venmos up or putting their Patreons up, because now is a really important time to just support those artists.
She's Julie Herndon, founding member and executive director of the Tricklock Theater. Thank you so much. Will you be back on so we can talk a little bit more in the future?
Absolutely. Anytime, Khalil. I really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
This is Your NM Government. I'm your host, Khalil Ekolona. Every weekday, we're covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Stay tuned in weeknights at 7:30 p.m.
This week, we unearthed a lot of urgent problems on our show. We talked about the mounting pressures of bills and rent, about the suspension of protections for the environment, about small businesses struggling to access emergency aid from the feds, and last night, we covered the public health time bomb inside ICE detention facilities. They're not easy stories to hear or to carry forward for any of us, but they matter so much right now. We're going to stay on all of those topics. And as always, we also cover the resilient ways our communities and you shore each other up. How do you do it? How do you push back? How do you protect yourself and your family? How do you fight for your community? And how do you do it from home? Leave us a message and we could roll it into our shows next week. Call 505-218-7084 and share your story. Or email yournmgov@gmail.com.
Last night, the DJ saved my life. You may know that song by Indeep. It's true, right? How many times has a DJ, musician, or performer played a song that moved you to your soul? All the venues and bars are closed, so what is your favorite DJ to do? How are they to survive? I called up John, DJ Speed One Chavez, to see what he's up to and how he's keeping the party going from home.
Yes, yes, y'all.
What is happening, my man? How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. You're an artist, you're a musician, you're a DJ, you're a public figure. And a lot of people are working on projects now,
right.
I see on social media, and I really like it. I really like that fact that people are home in the house working on their projects, developing something. Tell me about the impact of having that time as an artist to be able to work on your craft.
Well, you know what? The one thing is, and it's with anything, I don't care what walk of life you come from, you never have enough time is what you're always saying. You know, oh, I wish I had time to do this. I wish I had time to add on to this. I didn't have time to do these remixes. I did, you know, so now the blessing in disguise is that we all been blessed with a lot of time right now.
Yeah.
And the creative juices, since you are in the house, I feel them like they're right. Like the vibe. I don't know if that makes sense for what we're going through, but the vibe is right inside the houses.
Yeah. I feel like it does make sense because I think the arts are going to be one medium which is going to help us not only get through this, but make sense of it, particularly the after effects. I'm talking about 4, 5, 10 years down the line, how people
right.
will be able to put this time into perspective as a marker in, hey, this is when a consciousness shift happened. You know, you are a gigging artist. You DJ. Has this affected, you know, your work life? How has it affected you?
Oh, huge, man. Huge. I mean, my whole calendar for the next, who knows how long this is going to ride out, but everything has been wiped off. So as a DJ, how I do it is I book months out. So, you know, I booked all these graduations last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your regular paycheck, which is your nightclubs.
Yeah.
And those are a regular schedule. You know what I mean? Those are like Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just stopped. Basically, it just stopped.
The city has offered some grants for artists and performing artists. You know, not many artists qualify for unemployment and things, you know?
Right. And I'm one of them.
There's been a little pushback. Talk about the importance of the art in our lives.
I've been advocating to get more arts back into the schools, especially at the elementary level, because not every kid could dribble a basketball. But every single kid could hold a paintbrush. every single kid to put on headphones and listen to music and create music.
I feel
man,
you. It's invaluable,
you know,
to us as human beings and a community, as you, Mr. John Speed One Chavez,
hey,
are invaluable to the community. Thank you so much.
Hey, I love you, man. I love what you're doing, and I love that you think about us, man. Thank you.
Oh, of course, man. Y'all are in my heart. I love you as well, man. My best to you and the family. Thanks again for doing this, brother. The city of Albuquerque just freed up $500,000 in funding to support the local creative economy. That means nonprofits, artists, and people who teach art to kids. Cultural Services Director Shel Sanchez joins the show now.
There is a lot of ways of looking at how important arts and the creative economy and our cultural workers are for our city. There's the very economic reality, which is in New Mexico, creative workers, artists, cultural workers are about 10% of our workforce. And so that's a lot of people. If we look at it in a much broader sense, the creative economy and arts and all of our cultural organizations are really important to our cultural tourism, to what attracts people to living here, retiring here, visiting here, starting, expanding businesses here. This is an incredible asset that the city has, and we need to make sure that we're trying to stabilize that particular workforce like we are with all of our other workforces.
Now, tell me a little bit more about the creative community relief benefits that the mayor just announced.
Within cultural services and with the mayor 100% behind us, we put out a really big $500,000 package, which is a lot for our community. And it's really big if you look at what other cities have been able to do around the country. So we have $300,000 that will go to our arts nonprofits to reinvent, recover, reimagine, remount something that has been lost essentially to the pandemic. And then we have $100,000 that we've designated as DIY creative media. So this is to contract with artists and creatives in our community right now. They put in a proposal. We will fund the best and as many as possible new media content that we will put on our Comcast public access channels and then also stream on our YouTube channels. And then we have $50,000 that's for art education, so really focused on youth and children. And then we're putting $50,000 into our Creative Youth Corps. It was a program we were going to launch this summer. We still want to support and encourage our young people in high school or recently graduated who want to have careers in the arts to start learning what that means. And so there will be stipends for their summer jobs. They might be remote internships, but we're still going to push that forward, and those applications will be available next week.
Well, where can creative people go to be a part of some of these measures?
So you can go to City of Albuquerque and look for cultural services, or you can look at cultureabq.com, and it should take you right there.
Is that a similar site that our listeners should go to help?
If you're just trying to help in general, there's the volunteer site for the City of Albuquerque. And then we also have the One Albuquerque Foundation. And you can give there if you want to support the efforts of the creative economy.
She is Dr. Shel Sanchez, Cultural Services Director for the City of Albuquerque. Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for talking about the creative economy, because it matters to every single one of us.
Last week, we aired part one of conversations I had with friends and family, just going over their thoughts. It's a new reality we're in, and I wanted to see what they were thinking. Here's a collection of what my family and friends had to say. You won't forget it. Let's start with my sister, Afi. Okay, so you know what we're going to do? I'm going to get all three of y'all on at the same time. We're going to have this conversation.
No, because we're going to talk over each other. No, I want my time.
Afi gets her
time.
No
offense, siblings.
No offense to our other four siblings, but you know how much Afi loves the spotlight. The overwhelming theme of all the comments was that of personal change.
On a regular day, COVID or non-COVID, you could walk outside and inhale something and that could kill you.
Yeah.
So the thing that has changed in me is death is way more prevalent. And like, I don't want to go. I got a lot to do here. And people can complain. And I understand why people might, but you can't complain when I'm dead.
Yeah.
I got a lot of things to do. I have a lot of impressions to make, and I want my kids to know more.
We
sort of deserve some kind of wake-up call. Like, we do need to reassess what we're doing as humans and do it better. Yeah. I mean, really start doing it better. I mean, I've tried for a long time to, you know, live a natural and conscious and righteous and life with integrity and goodness. And I think that, and it's hard, and it's always hard, and I don't always do it. Yeah. You know, I mean, I am just human, and it is human to make mistakes and to error, but we do have to learn from our mistakes, and we have to stop being such nasty creatures.
I imagine that all of us will be a great deal stronger in terms of the fact that we've been in a mental health crisis in this country. Some of the best medicine is just sitting down, shutting the hell up, and being still.
You're being forced to deal with yourself.
Yep.
And a lot of people are going to have to wake up to that it is about themselves. This is their first understanding that it's about themselves. And then many of us are having, double of that or triple of that or whatever it is of, hearing the message.
It made me think about ways that I can reinvent myself after this whole thing is over. Yeah, it's a transformation for me. It's going to be a total life transformation.
A friend of mine says it's actually cocooning, and we all get to be with ourselves and the ones that we love if we're fortunate enough to live with them. And, people can get on each other's nerves and everything, but there's a lot of self-reflection, I think, that's happening, and where people can be very honest about their lives and where they are in their life and what they really desire, and maybe finding ways of creating ways of going after that.
Teaches that we are human, no one's God.
Yeah.
We are human, man.
Yeah.
We are human, man. Do the best you can while you're here, man. Tomorrow is our promise to you.
I mean, here's the thing. The reason why I don't think it'll happen is because of the internet and the, like, Instagram, Facebook, and like, oh, well, let me reach out to my people. Sit your down with yourself, turn off your phone, see what happens.
You know, I mean, it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. You know, some people do a little bit more of it than others, but I think ultimately it's good to just kind of slow things down and sit with yourself and, just kind of check in.
Yeah.
So to say, yeah. The words of the late, great Kenny Rogers, check in to see what condition my condition is in.
I mean, I noticed that I'm more comfortable with this than I thought I would be, but I think if I had to work, if I was just going to work every day and doing other things in my time, it'd be different for me, I'm guessing, but I mean, other than that, besides personally, hopefully I see like an opportunity for people to learn other ways to communicate.
This gets to be that moment in time when we bring forward, that world that we all actually want to be living in.
Yeah,
And so that's, that's one of the things that's happened for me is I trust us. I trust us to do it. People don't want to take responsibility, not for the things that happened to them, but for changing.
It's going to change. It's going to change.
We're not going to transition back to normal. We're all going to have to make these life adjustments, and we're not sure on how radical the life adjustments are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do what you can while you can. It's no more time for bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being in the business that I am, I like to stay informed, but I can understand, for people that aren't in my career field, how it could be overwhelming and how they just want to disconnect.
I'm looking at what are the things that are sustainable through such a crisis.
Yeah.
Being a bartender is, maybe I'll create a speakeasy where it's just like three people get to be in the speakeasy at a time.
Yeah, 6 feet apart.
20 drink minimum.
Yeah. Laughter in the face of uncertain times. That's authentically human, and we're going to need much more authenticity for us all to make it through this. Those are thoughts from my family and friends. You heard from Afi A. Colonna Rukavina, Marnie Prince, Benjamin Eaglin, Azul Amaral, Roscoe Floyd, Saida A. Colonna, Charles Summers, Jesus Zamora, Atif A. Colonna, Reverend Amani Malaika, and Rosanna Martinez. And one last conversation here on Reflections. It's Good Friday, and normally during Holy Week, thousands of people from around New Mexico would be walking to Chimayo and Tome Hill. But the Archdiocese of Santa Fe called off the pilgrimage, saying this week, home is the only holy place. Megan Kamrick from KUNM and New Mexico PBS spoke with Victoria Trujillo, who won't be making the journey on foot for the first time in 48 years.
As you know, I've been doing this for that many years. A couple of years, I have been possible. I had a couple of surgeries that would have been impossible to do the walk, but I was able to after all. It's a tradition, it's both religious, and it's my spiritual connection with Easter and with Holy Week. It reinforces my faith. I get from all of those hundreds and hundreds of people the same feeling of strength and hope.
And Victoria, how will you observe Good Friday this year if you can't walk to Chimayo?
Well, I am choosing a spot that I will be carrying my cross and do the walk where it is possible, somewhere in the petroglyphics probably. There are certain areas that it's they're still open and, you know, be close to nature and still have the time to meditate and to pray while I carry the cross.
It will be very different not being with other pilgrims.
It will be, but this is what the times are called for, so we have to do the best we can.
Do you think, given the strange times we're in, the things that Holy Week is about are helping you adapt to these times?
Well, we have the support of our parish. They're doing a streamline. So tomorrow they'll do the washing of the feet. We still have our daily mass, a streamline. So we are blessed to continue not being together, but celebrating and knowing that the whole parish is together at their homes, but we can still celebrate. And that's important.
What kind of impact do you think this time will have on these traditions in the future and on people's faith?
I believe it's going to strengthen people's faith. The ones that we have been able, the ones that we've been lucky to follow traditions and do all of these things, we are going to appreciate it so much more. And the ones that have not started these traditions, probably they will be looking at it and start their own traditions in the children and in their grandchildren.
I want to thank you for coming and talking about this, taking time from this week that's important. Thank you so much.
Find a full list of all the resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/YNMG Hub. $300,000 is going to the arts and cultural nonprofits in Albuquerque. $100,000 is going to local artists to create digital media. $50,000 is going to local artists to create educational programming that engages young people. 516 Arts is giving 60 artists $1,000 from the Fulcrum Fund. The Santa Fe Reporters got the hookup on virtual concerts. Find them online at sfreporter.com. And the Tourism Department is offering virtual tours of arts and culture hubs and the state's natural wonders. You can check them out in virtual reality. Visit New Mexico on YouTube. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced by yours truly. News update by Marisa DeMarco. A very large, large, super large amount of props to Bryce Dix for putting in the editing work. Theme music by Pope Yes Yes Y'all. And socially distanced high fives from here to our partners, New Mexico PBS and the Santa Fe Reporter, for chipping in their content, expertise, and reporting. Hear us all week long on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. Online, find the show on KUNM.org or subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil Ekolona. Thanks for listening and have a fantastic weekend.